We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap. 10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
You've never seen that South Park?
Maybe. It's been a long time.
God, it's so funny. It's fighting around the world with Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay.
And every time someone sees him, they go, hey, is that Russell Crowe?
Oh my God, it's Russell Crowe!
Nice.
It's so stupid, but so good.
All right. Fun.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
We are here with another Hot Takes for you. We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I'm Scott.
Yes. And I'm Steven.
And every week we normally play a game, tell you about it, tell you about the making of it. But this week we're doing other Hot Takes.
Yes. And for this Hot Takes, we're doing it a little bit differently. We're doing some draft picks, and then we're going to do some blind rank picks for Scott as well today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the draft quicks a little bit quicker and not explain everything about them as we usually do. So, but that's okay.
Yes. And I'm guessing for draft picks, mine aren't in any particular order. I'm guessing the same for you, or do you have them in a set order?
I never do mine in order.
All right.
Unless and for something these, like feels really, really cool, you know?
And for these questions, we are doing four answers each just so everyone is aware.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to get right into it, or do we want to talk about anything else? Or
I don't know. Let's go. What are we starting out with?
We will start out with
a chug of water right as I ask him. What a douche.
I know.
What a fucking douche, guys.
It's like when the waiter comes by right as you take your first bite. How's the food? Oh,
it sounds like the waiter comes by and you're sucking on a dick. Let's be honest.
Hey, that's happened a time or two. We don't need to talk about it.
It has. It has.
All right. So we're going to talk about, speaking of sucking dick, most overpowered abilities.
I don't get the correlation.
That's a good ability to have. But most overpowered abilities in video games, yes.
Yeah, these are things we just feel are a little bit too powerful. And one of mine is really fucking funny. So go ahead, Steven. What's your first one?
All right. First one, I will start with probably my favorite power of the Marvel Spider-Man series. This is the symbiote yank. When this is fully upgraded, when you're getting towards the end of the game, you can grab any number of enemies on screen all at once. Tentacles of the Venom symbiote just jump out of you, and you can grab them with like 15 like tentacle arms. Jesus. Grab all of them and bash them all down on the ground. It's just the most wild thing in that game. And if Spider-Man had that ability just on a regular, it would just be insane. Like, it's seriously one of the most like overpowered thing I've seen, like a Venom symbiote kind of thing do. And watching him and just doing that, especially because everything in this game felt so singular, like one-on-one combat. There is a couple like blasting kind of things that you can do and launching techniques where you can launch a whole area of people and stuff like that, but this one, just you could take everyone that was on the screen all at once, and nothing else in the game had anything of that scale, so it just became the most broken ability and the ability you use at all points from that point on.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna talk about High Noon.
Oh, yep.
yeah, this is fair. Just we've talked about this before with our best one-liners. But this ability is just too fucking powerful. I mean, it's an instant. I think it's three shot.
I think
kills.
It's six shot. Is it six shots?
I cannot remember.
Because I think it's like a full revolver. I think that
I
was
can't
the whole
remember.
Kick
when
of it.
I started playing, I believe it was three.
I think it might have changed different iterations, possibly. It could have been a balancing thing where they changed the amount of shots it had.
I only played it when the game first came out, so, and that was, you know, years ago. But yeah, it's from Overwatch. You shoot out a bunch of shots as what's his name now? It's not the same.
Yeah, I can't. McKay, I think, is his name now.
Remember. What was it before? McCree.
Yeah.
So he would just shoot shots and it would be instant kill, and that's his alt, and you just instant kill anyone. Yeah. And basically,
instant deadlock headshots.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Oh, that was a ridiculous ability. But yeah, next up for me, I went with one from Ghost of Tsushima, and this is the Ghost Stance. The Ghost Stance in this game, when you're taking, it happens, I think, either if you take out a leader or if you've taken out a certain number of enemies, like in succession, the whole screen goes into black and white, and it goes like full old school Japanese samurai film. And everyone is now terrified of you. Some people will run from you. Other people will try to attack. But every attack in this instant is a one-hit assassination kill. You'll cut off their head. You'll dismember their arms. You'll just stab them straight through the chest. You'll just one slice through. It's so brutal. It's so just captivating. It's one of those like very just cinematic shots that's just like, this is everything I want this game to be in this moment, and I feel like a god. And yes,
overpowered.
Yes, but it's really, really fucking cool.
So in Dragon Ball Z, Boo's Fury,
ooh, okay,
the third iteration of the Legacy of Goku series,
yeah,
you get to unlock, I can't remember if it's Gogeta or Vegito, but I think it's Gogeta.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, it's Goku and Vegeta fused, and you get to turn Super Saiyan. It's one of the most overpowered moments.
Oh, jeez.
You get a punch that becomes a literal dragon, and you can just kill everything in one hit with that. You get the Big Bang Kamehameha wave, which is just the most
stupid.
It's the most overpowered like form you could be, and you can turn Super Saiyan in that form as well.
Oh, man.
So it's even further. So I have to put that as one of my top ones just because it's just so fucked
up.
And you only get that post game too.
Fair. Well, I have to ask it. Vegeta or Gogeta, what's the best one?
They're the same. They're literally exactly the same.
A lot of people argue.
I don't know.
Which one's better?
The only difference is how they fuse, so.
Fair. All right. Next one for me is from the game Quantum Break, and it's just the time stop ability. Honestly, it's this.
That's every fucking time stop ability.
No, but
powerful.
This one in particular, this one is different from every other one because of how it does it. Because a lot of times it does just like stop time or do this stuff. But this one actually like suspended bullets. It suspended anything in the air.
Yeah.
It was just the way that it was done is so perfect. That like it's the ultimate of time abilities in all time games, and honestly the time abilities in this game period, Remedy just does an incredible job with kind of spatial powers and weird shit, Alan Wake control.
Yeah.
Like they just do weird shit, and this is just such a broken ability just because just a bubble of time. Like my favorite thing is just throw a bubble on someone's head, run around with a machine gun around their entire head, and then just have bullets from all around them, like 60 of them. And then as soon as the time starts, just 60 bullets all hit his head all at once. He's just like, ha ha, fucker, survive that shit.
I just mutilated you.
I mean, I know this sounds grotesque and violent as shit, but it's the coolest. It's overpowered as shit. It's cool as shit. It makes you feel awesome. Going through the TV episodes is a slug for this game, but the gameplay and the action is fun as fuck. So,
all right. I'll come at you with the star power from Mario Kart.
You know, I almost said star power, just in general.
It is in general, yes, but in Mario Kart, it's even fucking worse because it could be the difference between you winning and losing.
Well, if it just made you invulnerable, it would be one thing. But to make you faster.
And to knock anything in front of you to the side and make everyone slower. Like, it's just stupid. It's
all around.
Like there's so many cool things in there that are more strategic and you can use them in certain like places. And that one's just like, here's a free one. It's just like the now what's the bullet one. But even the bullet one is less of a timer, I think.
Yeah, well, and that's it's only in your, if you're in last place, you can't get that in any other place. Like, so it's not that
but
bad
get
when
the
someone
star
gets
power,
it.
I believe, in five or lower.
Yeah, I think that's right. So like having it in the middle of the pack can be right at
and
the end and just pass everybody.
I'm pretty sure you have a chance at the first three. You just need the roll that ice is really, 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 really super duper low.
probably. Well, that's a very good pick, though. Very good one. All right, my last one, I am going to go with an ability from Dishonored 2. I know. Not the greatest of games, but especially because the first one's just so much better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's way less hard. But the ability in the second one, if you go on the Emily gameplay style and choose her to be the main hero, because you get to pick which person you want to do in that one, Emily or Corvo. Okay. And if you do Emily, she gets different types of powers that are similar to the ones in the first game, but a little bit different. And one of the extra powers she gets in this one is called Domino. And any amount of people that are within a certain like meter radius of each other, you can put a string connecting them all together. And then anything you do to one of them gets done to all of them all at once.
Okay.
And if you couple this power with the other, there's another power that when you assassinate someone and they didn't notice you, their body disintegrates completely. You can chain six guards together or get them all grouped together, go down, assassinate one, they all turn to dust, they're all gone, vanish.
Oh my
there's
God.
No bodies, there's nothing to clean up, there's nothing. It's literally just wipe everyone out at once, one shot, kill everyone. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it's a ridiculous power, it's a ridiculous ability. You have to plan it and use it well, so it does take a lot of skill and effort to do, and a lot of patience, but if you do get those moments, it's glorious.
And it's a ridiculous game.
It is. It's a brutally fucking difficult game in every way.
It's really rated low, I'm pretty sure, if I remember right.
I think it's definitely rated lower than the first one. And the first one's pretty beloved, but it's also just extremely difficult. Because if you don't play the game as stealthily as possible, the game gets more and more difficult. Because the more you kill, the more guards that come. The more you also kill, the more that the plague interacts with the world and makes things more difficult. So it doubles the difficulty every time you kill and leave a body somewhere.
Even if it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Even. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. My last one. This ability is complete bullshit. It's the dumbest ability in the world for a complete fucking novice to play any fighting game and button mash their way to success.
Is this Kirby?
No, just in general. Button mashing is the ability. It's the most obnoxious thing when you've played a fucking fighting game for years. And you introduce it to one of your friends who's like, what does the A button do? And they just mash the shit out of it. And you're like, stop doing it. Okay, well, now I can't do it if you keep interrupting me.
Yeah. So, well, especially in certain games. Like, I know in like Mortal Kombat 2, like the low kick was like the hardest thing to.
Well, and it's just one of those things, like, you're used to playing people who are really good and they don't button mash.
Because yes.
It leads to, like, it's not instant defeat, but you're going to lose if you miss one hit on it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like
if you perfectly time it right, you'll interrupt everything the other player does.
Like at some point, like if two fighters go into a ring, like there's a lot of patience, there's a lot of like acknowledgement there, there's a lot of like balance of skill and a lot of like, I know I can't go right now or he's going to kill me. But when someone just walks into a ring, just like flailing their arms and legs, they're going to hit you eventually. Like something's going to catch you. Like it's hard to like dodge something into that caliber. And it is just really annoying. And I do agree, because that's something like it's sucky how much that can win. A lot, like a decent amount of time. Like it's not like a every once in a while thing. It's actually like that's a strategy. Like most people could just like, you're not going to win a tournament with button mashing, but you are going to win just a lot of random online games probably. And you're going to piss a lot of people off.
They're going to be like, why am I playing these fucking noobs?
Seriously.
It's going to be that nonstop. All right. Well, let's move on to our next little category. I think we're doing beards next.
Yes, the best
beards in video games. I'll start with this one, and I'll start with Fable. So in general, I'm not going to pick any specific character. In Fable, you get to customize whatever kind of beard you want at any moment in the game. If you find a card that's a beard you want, you can put it on absolutely.
You know, Jen actually said Fable too, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do like creator characters. I want to do like actual characters.
Well,
but
that's
like
the thing, like you don't. It's not when you create. It's literally at any point in the game you can change your beard, and you grow the beard over time too. So there's moments when you'll be in prison, and you'll just
grow a beard.
Yeah. So and the beard is pretty cool when you grow it out, but it's cool that you could do the handlebar mustache, or you could do like the full on beard, or you could do like the small goatee.
Okay. Nice.
They do a lot of cool beards in there, and they really went with the
styles very hard. Is there a best beard of the Fable beards?
The mutton chops are pretty cool.
Mutton chops. Oh, that's a
You get a full on like what is it called? The swirly.
I don't know what that's called.
The mustache, and then you get the mutton chops at the same time.
Gosh. Okay. Full character. All right. All right.
Full on character.
My first one, I think this one's a pretty obvious one to a lot of people, is Kratos from the God of War 2018.
I'm just gonna say that he's on my second as the list. I think he's just been around for long enough that he deserves a mention from everyone.
Dude, I mean, that's just a great beard. I mean, just great, just all around, like everything.
You like
about
old
it.
Kratos that didn't have the beard, and then you're like, wow, Kratos got a cool ass beard in the new
He does. He's got this awesome ass beard. I'm like, damn, you wear that well. But he just looks like so stoic with it too.
Very
just,
mountain
like, powerful,
man.
And you're like, yeah, all right, that's a beard.
All right, what do you got? We both had Kratos on our list, so that one's gone for me. But I'm gonna start with John Marston.
Okay,
now, this is from Red Dead Redemption, the first game. I just think he had a very like rugged look, old west fucking look. He had the scar on his right, I think his right cheek. Either left or right cheek.
I don't remember.
He, the beard was good. It was nice, and it's a black beard too, so it looks even more menacing when he's like talking on, especially with the jawline and the scar. Like he just looks good. He's a good looking dude, and the beard helps a ton. Without that beard, I don't think he looks as threatening.
That's fair. Fair. All right. Next one for me. I went with Kethric Thorm from Baldur's Gate 3. This was J.K. Simmons' character. Champion of Merkel. I just think that just big full gray beard looked really nice. It was really well done. Honestly, a lot of the hair and everything in that game just looked incredible, but just that beard was pretty epic. And J.K. Simmons always has iconic facial hair in everything he's in. So
yeah. I mean, so for my next one, I'm gonna go with Odin from Smite.
Oh, nice. I have one from Smite too, but it's not Odin.
Nice. Yeah, Odin's beard in Smite is actually pretty fucking rad. He looks like a Norseman. It's very obvious he's a Norseman. He's just a cool looking character too. He's got the cool fucking hat. He's got the like the armor looks good. Even when you get a reskin of him, they always have his iconic beard and it always looks good.
Yep. Well, speaking of Smite, I'll just go ahead and go into mine. He's even got a line in the game. By my beard,
Zeus.
All right. Zeus has got that epic white beard, that just giant long epic white beard. It's pretty grand.
He's so different though. His is like a regal beard versus Odin's like mountain man beard.
Yeah, it's a different kind of beard for sure.
Yeah,
definitely more God Olympus, like very high and mighty, privileged. Yeah, very neat, proper. I just thought it was funny because he's even got that line in the dialogue talking about his beard, by my beard.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yep. I mean, he says it himself. It's
I think Poseidon has
head.
A great beard too in that game. Honestly,
a lot of the beards are pretty good in that game. A lot of the character designs in general are phenomenal in those games. So
yeah, for sure. All right. Do you have one more?
I do have one more.
All right,
this was Barrett from Final Fantasy VII Remake. Giant black guy on your team. He's got this really he's got that perfect like trimmed beard that just like it's totally full, but it's just like short still, but just like I don't know, it's just perfect.
It's just like short but full, but
it's short full,
long but
very well but trimmed, proper, very military-esque, but just looks very good on him. fits the character extremely well. So just a great beard. I was looking through a bunch of characters and I was like, oh yeah, Barrett. He's got a great one.
All right. All right. Well, let's jump into the weakest main villains. What do you got?
Yes. First one for me, I'm doing Hoyt from Far Cry 3. Especially after beating Voss pretty like 2/3 of the way into Far Cry 3, having Hoyt be the main bad guy above Voss just felt really flat after that. He's not menacing at all. He's not intimidating. He didn't have any of those like wow factors like Voss did. He didn't have those like lines with you. He didn't keep capturing you through the game. Like your main adversary throughout the entire game was Voss. So then to just deal with this, his boss afterward, like the guy who hired him, it felt very much like just the guy who hired him. Like he wasn't actually a threat. Like Voss was the real threat. So he's just a weak villain and he really doesn't put up much of a fight.
All right. I'm going to come at you with Fable 2's the King of Bowerstone. I don't know why I can't remember his name now. I had it earlier, but he's the King of Bowerstone. He's the main bad guy in the whole game. You spend the entire game chasing after him. At the end of the game, it takes one hit to kill him, and that's it. And you might not even make that hit. If you let him talk long enough, another character will shoot him.
So that's so stupid.
So either way, no matter what, he is a one-hit kill.
No oh damn!
Who hits him.
Oh damn! That sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. my next one, I'm going with one that might be a little bit controversial, but I'm just gonna go with Bowser. Just across all Mario games,
God, he's on my list too.
He's just such a like, especially in the early games. Just duck underneath him, touch the axe, and then he's dead.
And you think of like Mario 64, you just grab him by the tail whenever
and throw him at a bomb. Three times. Like,
if
there's...
you play the Paper Mario games, he is a little bit harder at the end of the first Paper Mario. But like, if you play like a Superstar Saga and all that, he's really not that hard of a boss to beat.
Yeah, like thinking of like other Nintendo games, like Zelda, like Ganon's usually like an actual boss fight.
Yeah,
it's not always the most challenging.
Whatever he's trying to do, and that way you can easily beat him. But with Bowser, it's like you just watch him for 2 seconds, and you know how to beat him.
Yep, and you're probably gonna do it first try every time, or maybe second
try. Mario and Luigi partners in time. That is the first boss you fight is Baby Bowser, I think. You beat him like in 2 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
So,
well, I'm glad you also agreed. He's just a weak boss, honestly.
I think everyone knows he's kind of a weak loser boss. He's just there because he's kind of a threatening looking character.
Yeah, it's just the very cartoony villain. Like, he's never going to win, and everyone knows it, including him, but he still never will admit that. I don't know. It's just dumb.
All right. Well, for my next one, I'm going to do the Halo 2 Prophet of Regret.
Ooh, that's a decent choice.
I believe it's the right prophet. I should have looked it up, but I'm pretty sure the Prophet of Regret was the one who invaded Earth. And then you fight him. He's the first prophet you fight because the second prophet gets killed by the Flood. And the third prophet, I think, gets killed in the third game. So in Halo 2, the two prophets die, the Prophet of Truth and the Prophet of Regret, I think.
I think you're right.
Unless the Prophet of Truth is the one from the third. I can't remember exactly.
I know
the Prophet of Regret is this one. So this is the Prophet of Regret. You spend like forever getting to this guy. Like you go, this is right before Gravemind kidnaps you.
Yeah.
And you go and you fight him and you just beat him in 3 sword hits essentially. Like, and he does shoot like a sentinel laser at you. But it's like a boss fight that's just lame. It's not a good boss fight whatsoever.
Yeah. Because it doesn't even like go invisible and stuff, and you have to chase him around the room.
No, he doesn't do anything. He just flies around in his little fucking chair and shoots.
Oh, that's just it. Yeah,
he summons some bad guys sometimes, but that's it. He doesn't do anything.
Okay, yeah,
he's the worst boss.
Really lame.
And Halo's never been known for its big bosses. You know, the big bosses are the mechanical bosses, and then they'll do the stupid like mini bosses like that, who are the main antagonists of the game.
True.
So,
but even like the big boss fight with the brute and stuff like that. Like those are at least
way better.
Yeah.
That was way better.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's a good choice. Good choice.
The brute chieftain.
Next one for me is one that's kind of a joke one, but it's the most, that's not a main villain. Oh shit. Oh, well, I'm putting it in here anyways, cause it's just hilarious. Cause it was the first thing I thought of. It's in Jedi Survivor. It's this, you go into this hallway and the door closes behind you and it has like the boss music and then like the boss name appears on the top of the screen with a health bar and it says Rick, the door technician. And then he just runs at you like full speed. And most people just did one hit slice and just killed him. And then it's like, you defeated him. But Jesus. It was just some random guy that happened to get like boss music and they just sent at you and made you think it was going to be a boss. It was just some random guy. But it's the fucking most hilarious thing ever. Because okay. They made it fully seem like, oh shit, like this is going to be some, like, okay, Rick the door technician. This is going to be weird. And then,
let's
nope.
Kill him.
Yeah. He's just a door technician.
All right. Yeah. I have another Halo 1, okay. Halo 3 this time. In okay. Halo 3, at the end of the game, right before the last mission where you're driving away, you have a boss fight with 343 Guilty Spark.
Yeah.
If you remember, you have the Spartan laser, and you have to shoot at him with the Spartan laser. And, like, he kills... The biggest thing he does is he kills Sergeant Johnson.
Yeah.
Bastard! Only claim to fame is killing Sergeant Johnson, and then after you shoot him three times with the Spartan laser, and you win.
Yeah, that's a really bad one.
You're on this really tiny platform too. He's a tiny hit, but like the Spartan laser essentially has aim assist. It's just a boring ass boss fight that didn't need to be there. And it's not like a big scarab. It's not anything like that. It's a fucking tiny ass little nodule thing that doesn't, like its worst thing is it's annoying when it talks.
Yeah, pretty much. So, just like a flying orb that's just annoying.
Yeah, it's just like it can control all the sentinels on a base, but for some reason can only send 5 to help you at a single time.
Fair. No, that's a good choice. My last one is another one from the Far Cry series. It's Far Cry 6, and it's Castillo, I believe his name is. It's Juan Carlos Esposito's character in the game. He is actually literally dying of cancer.
Okay.
Really underwhelming when you actually like get to that fight, just because he is a dying man. So
you're
it's one of those
basically hitting a dying man. And you feel good about it, I'm sure.
You don't. It's weird. It's this whole thing,
like
you and do. Like you do and you don't. It's a weird.
Like you do.
Oh, no
you
comment.
Like beating up people with cancer, huh? Loser.
It's what I do for fun.
It's my favorite thing in the world, actually.
Yeah. It's actually my side job. No, I'm joking. So yeah. Next on the list.
It's your side bitch.
Is best swords in gaming.
Yep. These are just swords that we think are really cool.
Yes. You want to go?
You go first. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Energy sword, Halo 2, or any of the Halos, basically. But
I did not put that on this list, and it's just because the energy swords I don't think are very cool.
I think they're pretty cool. I think they were really, they're just an iconic sword, too. I think the look of them is really cool. I don't think they're the most practical thing, and honestly, only having like 8 uses is kind of really lame, but it's just
nostalgic as fuck. Energy sword in the first game? You never got to use it, but it was always shown on the elites. It was cool. It was kind of long.
Yeah.
It was like it looked like it was like deep blue rather than like a purplish blue color.
Yeah.
It was a much cooler looking sword than what they came out with later. I will say that.
Yeah, I agree. What you got?
All right. I'm going to go with the Sword of Aeons.
Sword of Aeons. I don't know this.
This is from Fable. This is one of the coolest fucking swords you could have ever. And it's because... essentially, to get the sword at the end of the game, it's the most powerful sword in the game. If it's not the Lost Chapters, it does like 530 damage per hit. Okay.
Oh, damn.
Which is a lot. That's more than triple the amount of any other sword. And if you get this sword, the way to get it is Jack of Blades drops it. You have it in your hand, but you have to kill your sister with it in order to keep it.
Oh, damn.
It's the only, unless you glitch, you can glitch at the end of the game too to get it.
Okay.
It'll appear like underneath, and you just have to do like the special thing in the original game. But it doesn't, like, if you want to do that, go for it. It really does not matter if you do that or not. And if you kill your sister, you get it, and you just feel like a fucking badass. Now, in the Lost Chapters, they did nerf this sword quite a bit. Instead of doing 530 damage, it does 330, I think.
Oh, damn. Quite a big nerf.
There's quite a bit, so it kind of sucks for that reason, but it's because they put more weapons in there.
Okay.
But it was a cool thing to find. It was a
nice,
it's a cool sword to have too. It looks super sweet. It's super huge compared to your character, but it's a one-handed sword. Like, it's fucking cool.
Nice. My next favorite sword is Altair's sword from Assassin's Creed series. I actually have a replica of this sword.
Yeah, it looks stupid.
I just always have loved the hilts. I love like the eagle head kind of thing. I love just the whole style of it. I love just the short blade. I'm a big fan of the short blades. Don't see a lot of short blades in a lot of games. It's all about the great swords and the long swords and katanas. So just having a normal double-sided short sword is just really cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. All right. Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to say it now. I did not choose any lightsabers.
I didn't either.
I didn't. They are swords. They do count. I just didn't, you know, a lightsaber. Well, I chose the purple lights. So like, all you could really do is choose, like, the color or the short of the double. Like, I don't know. It just was kind of lame.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
everyone's favorite sword is going to be a fucking lightsaber, so shut the fuck up.
If we're saying, like, the best sword ever, I'm like, yeah, but I also, like, they're cool, but they're not my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, but one sword we have to include in this is the Buster Blader. Or Buster Blade.
Mm.
Cloud Sword.
Cloud Sword.
So you have to include... I mean, it's this giant fucking slab of metal. I am almost positive it's inspired by either the... Because there was a Japanese sword back in the day that looked just like it. It used to be for killing cavalry.
Yeah.
Or it's inspired from Berserk, where she has...
Well, there's even... And I don't know how old the movie is, but there's a... like a Japanese movie or Chinese movie, The Seven Swords, and it has a giant Buster sword in it that was like a gift from the gods, and it was like this giant slab, and he just used it as like a blunt weapon to knock shit down like a lot, or just to be a blockade.
That's literally in Berserk, they do the same thing. They just call it a giant iron slab rather than a sword, because that's exactly what it is. And in Berserk, he's killed so many demons with it that it becomes a magical sword that's essentially good against demons.
It's insane. It's been
drenched in demon blood at that point.
Just ridiculous. But yeah, no, that's a great, great sword. Super iconic. Everyone knows it.
Yep.
Next one for me. These next two picks are going to be both from the From Software series.
Piece of shit.
This one is just
human trash.
Probably my favorite one, not because of the looks, but just because of the feel, the abilities, the movement, the strength of it, everything about it. It's the Bloodhound Fang. It's this giant, great curved blade. And you do all these attacks where you like launch forward and then do like a backflip back while slicing at them. And it's just a lot of like movements where you can get a lot of quick in and outs with it. And it's really a fluid weapon with a lot of like spinning because of its curved nature. So it's just very unique in its style, very unique in its usage. It's a game that I have taken to the end twice, beating the game three times in Elden Ring. I did the full DLC mainly with that weapon too. It's just my all-time favorite weapon in that game, and it's just broken. It's beastly. It's amazing. I love it.
Okay. I like it. Well, I'm gonna come at you with, what was my other one? How many have I done so far? Two.
You've done the Fable one.
So this one's one of my favorite. So originally I was thinking Diamond Sword.
I almost said it.
Because of course you have to mention like a Minecraft sword, because you use them all the time in Minecraft. But then I remembered, oh shit, you can upgrade the diamond blade to a netherite blade. So I have to talk about the netherite blade. I love the fucking netherite shit in the game. When they released that update, I went on a deep dive hunt for netherite is nether. It called the nether?
Yeah.
So it's where I was in the nether for literally like days just looking for netherite. And all I found was like, I think 64 blocks. I found a shit. I was doing the trick where you essentially
branch
blow
mining
up.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And you do that constantly.
Yeah.
Yep. And every time you do that, and I don't think, does the bed explode?
Bed explodes in the nether if you put it down.
And beds are really easy to make. That's right. Because I had like six stacks, or like all my inventory were beds. So
fair.
So I just kept blowing up my beds and looking for netherite. And again, I was in there for real time days, like days, literally just spending hours in the nether looking for netherite, and then I upgraded my sword. And it
well,
was
it's
the
already
in the world,
the most durable weapon. It's the strongest weapon. It does the most damage. But then you can still enchant it with all the same enchantments you can do for everything.
And
which
and
even
if you're
that
smart,
one
you'll get a shit ton of them, because then you'll have one that's good against skeletons and one that's good against undead and one that's good, has sharpness 3, so it's good against general things. Like
you can go up to sharpness 5.
Yeah. Well, now you can. Yeah. Back in the day, you couldn't.
Yeah. Back. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. But ridiculous. So my last one is from the Dark Souls series and From Software. It's in multiple games. It's the Moonlight Greatsword. It's kind of it's another kind of blunt, kind of big sword. It's another double-edged. It's a great sword. It comes to a teardrop kind of point, and it's got this really cool moonlight blue color, and it can actually launch moon attacks, moon sorcery attacks with a line of light that can go horizontally or vertically, and it does all these different things. But it's just a sword that's always really cool. I've seen actual replicas of it that I want, because it's just amazing. It just looks badass as fuck. Like, it's just an amazing sword. It's just way cool.
Okay, well, I'll come at you with a favorite blade of mine. Not the base version of it, but the base version is still pretty cool. The Keyblade.
Okay. Fair.
So the Keyblade, here's the thing about the Keyblade. The base version is kind of lame. It just looks like a giant fucking key.
Yeah.
But every other version of the Keyblade looks fucking sweet. It's so sleek. They're like, the Ultima Blade looks like it's giant, like... They just all look so cool, and each character gets their own version of the Keyblade. Mickey Mouse's Keyblade looks so much different than the OG Keyblade. Like, they all look so fucking cool that the Keyblade, to me, is one of the most iconic blades of all time. Like,
I mean, it really is.
It really is. Like, that game came out in what, 2002, 2001,
like
somewhere
that.
Around there? And we still talk about it here today, more than 20 years later.
Well, not only that, but a lot of people even have wondered, like, can you even make the Keyblade, like, actually, like, a weapon? Like, would the Keyblade actually work in real life because of its weird design?
Yeah, because if you look at the Keyblade, the OG version, it's blunt.
Yeah.
But then the other versions, like, are a little bit less
blunt.
And
the hilt
curved.
Is weird. So, like, the two, like, things that come off the hilt where the handle are in the front and the back. So it's, like, against your arm. So it's even impractical with fighting. Like, I saw some guys, like, made a forgery of it. They're like, why didn't they turn this? Like, why would they have it so it's, like, against
your
arm instead of out here?
Because they're not Sora, and they stuck.
Right?
They can't be Keyblade Masters. They don't have true hearts.
So, yeah, that's our draft picks for some of those categories. Let us know what your answers are for all those categories.
Yeah, and now we're going to get into our blind picks. Steven's going to blind pick me.
Yes.
He's
got some blind picks
for
him. Here you go, buddy.
It's just that's what's going to happen. Whoa. That's not my nose. Oh, God. My butthole.
You're welcome. All right. Let's go ahead. We will start with. It's going to go ahead and we'll start with the blind rank of the hottest men in games.
Okay. Curious.
All right, so I will send you pictures. I'm sure you know these people as well, but I can send you pictures as well so you know, and I will show them on the screen for everybody else.
Okay.
First one I'm going to start with, Arthur Morgan. Where are you putting him?
What are we ranking this out of?
You have 1 through 5, so you tell me which place you're giving him out of 1 through 5. He's
okay,
taking
so
that slot.
Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. Correct?
Yes.
I don't think Arthur Morgan's a very good looking dude. I'm going to put him at number 5.
You're going to put him at 5. Okay.
Yeah. He's an okay. He's rugged. I'll give him that.
Next.
But, you know, he doesn't have, like, if you take off his shirt, I'm sure he's got, like, a beer gut. You know what I mean?
Fair. Next on the list, we got Handsome Jack.
Handsome is indeed in his name. Now I wish I would have saved my 5th pick. He's actually a really ugly character. He's got like a weird unibrow. He's got like a really prominent forehead. He's like a Neanderthal, essentially.
Hey, I mean, fair. Are you going to put him in your 4 slot then?
Yeah, I guess I'll have to put him in the 4. I've kind of regret now putting Arthur Morgan in the five. I wish I would have waited. By the way, guys, we did set a rule. I get to swap once per category.
Yes. All right.
And it has to be a fair swap. So if I wanted Arthur Morgan to be number one, whoever is number one would have to become number five.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have Matt from Dream Daddy.
Oh, my God. Matt was my dream dad.
I know.
I don't know who else you're going to put in there, though. So he's definitely worth a number one, but I think I'm going to throw him at two just in case.
Throw him at two just in case? Okay.
In case you come at me with someone a little hotter.
All right.
Like this huge, muscly black dude, too. He's got great hair. He's got an awesome tattoos. Fucking like 5 o'clock shadow. Like, he looks like a and he plays guitar, I think, if I remember right. Like,
and he's just a super loving dude.
Coffee shop.
Yeah.
Classic rock. Like,
yeah,
he's a fucking hot guy, guys. He's hot.
Yeah. He's definitely our dream daddy. We both chose him.
Yes. I bet 90% of people choose Matt. I have to.
Probably.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Next up, we got Monkey from Enslaved.
Monkey? God damn it. Now I should have saved my fifth place. Monkey's not a bad looking dude. He's very muscly. But again, he's got that Neanderthal look about him. I guess I have to put him at three. There's no choice.
That's fair. All right. And last pick, and this is more of just a fun one to throw in there. Saren. Mass Effect.
Oh, for sure one. So I think in terms of his race, he is a called? No, it's a Val.
I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah, why can't I remember what they're called? A Turian.
Oh, okay.
So he's a Turian. He is a I think for a Turian, he's like muscly for a Turian. He's fucking hot for a Turian. When you compare him to like one who's in your party all the time, Garrus.
Yeah,
like he's
true.
Way fucking hot.
He's way better than Garrus. Yeah.
He's the hottest Turian you will meet. He's got like a cool look. I'm going to put him number one for sure. And I'm going to keep my number one as is. But I am going to swap my number three and my number five. I'm going to put Arthur Morgan at number three and Monkey is going to be my number five.
All right.
Now I'm feeling pretty good about the list.
All right, so you got Saren, Matt, Arthur, Handsome Jack, and Matt, or then Monkey.
Yeah, and Monkey, and Matt. Yeah. Yes, Matt's on there twice.
Yes, yeah. He needs to be. Dream daddy for sure.
He is the top five.
Yes. All right, next, I guess we'll just go ahead and do the females next. Got to show some love there. We will start with Juliet Starling. From Lollipop Chainsaw.
Ooh. I hated her personality in the game, but she is so fucking hot.
Yes, she is.
It's hard.
Hey,
I'm going to throw her
so
at an
fine.
Even three, right All down right. the middle. I think All she's right. very pretty. I know she's dumb as shit. And she keeps her ex-boyfriend's head on her belt. So
yes.
I feel like that's just going to be like a big sore Cock matter
block.
For me. If we ended up going out.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't be in the picture if you were in the picture kind of thing.
You never know. You never know with these crazy girls.
That's fair. All right, next up, Ada Wong, Resident Evil.
Oh, Ada. Ada so
I know you like
cool.
Ada.
She's gorgeous in
she's
that
badass.
Dress, I will say
Femme
that.
Femme fatale, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like in the best possible way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Respectfully.
I'm gonna throw her at two.
Okay. Okay.
I want to keep my number one open. I never know who you're going to throw, so.
That's fair.
From now on, I'm going to keep the number one and the number five open and well. Yeah, I still get that one switch up, so.
Hey, that's fair. All right, next one on our list is going to be, is it Aika from Skies of Arcadia?
Oh, you put an Aika in there. So Aika is 16, and that's
well,
gross.
Okay.
And you're a fucking pedophile.
Okay, that game came out a while ago, and it was probably when you were like 16. So
no,
just think about it in those terms.
I think I was like 10.
I'm just
be
saying,
older than me.
We've grown up. It's past that now. She's the same age as you.
You know, to me, there are so many and they all look terrible because of the graphics of the early 2000s. But there were some really cute characters in that game, and Aika kind of falls to the wayside of them. Oh,
like, actually, I'd put her like in the bottom row of good looking characters, because there's like a pirate who's really fucking hot and she's obsessed with this one guy. And if that one guy were me, I'd be so happy.
Fair. I didn't know anything about this game because obviously I've never played it. This is the one thing. So but I know you really love it. So I just looked up like best romance options from the game, and she showed up in a couple of people's list.
There's no romance options I know. In the game, but yeah, like, that's it's his closest childhood friend. So I get it. I'll put her at 4 though. I'll keep that number 5 open.
All right. All right. Next up, we got another person from Enslaved. We got Trip.
Trip? Oh, Trip. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is like, this is hard because like Monkey was a horrendous looking fucking, but she was actually super fucking hot and she's super fucking smart.
And I mean, Monkey had the body. Don't get you wrong.
But Trip also had the body.
Trip definitely has the body
and the looks. I'll throw her at 1. I liked her a lot. She was actually super cool.
And this is going to be the part where you kick yourself a little bit.
Is it? Because
I have Miranda Lawson.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So she's going in at your 5.
I do like Miranda a lot. She has to go in at 5. There's no choice. So who do I trade? I can't honestly put Trip at 5, can I? Why didn't you pick an ugly one for this one, you son of a bitch?
I have to throw in my randomness of the cues, or you're going to play mind games with me.
All right, all right. So
they have to be random.
I will throw Miranda at 1, which means Trip is getting relegated down to 5. Now, to fair, I think in Trip's world, there are no showers. So she probably is really smelly. So hey, I think that's going to justify.
However, you have to justify it.
Yeah, and Miranda is actually genetically engineered to be the best looking she possibly can be.
I mean, you're not wrong.
She is 100% the best looking girl in the game because she was genetically made that way.
All right. Fair enough. Good
and
blind
she's
Rinks.
Got the sexiest accent you will ever hear in your life.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
There's a lot about her that's just perfect.
All right. Next up, so you can have Keyblades earlier. We're going to go over blind ranking Keyblades.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know much about these either, so I just found powerful Keyblades on random list. So I kept it all to the first 3 games.
Okay.
Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, and 3, just all to be nice and easy. First, we'll start with the Divine Rose.
All right, that's the blade you get from Belle, I believe.
In the first game, yep.
Second game, I think you still get it somewhere in
Beast. A lot of these do appear in multiple games, but yes. I do. This one was specifically brought up for Kingdom Hearts 1.
Okay. So, The Divine Rose. Where do I throw that at? A list of 1 to 5. Like, what are you? If you put the base Keyblade on there, that's going at 5 for sure.
You can always trade it off later.
I know, but if I put it in a bad spot now, then the other Keyblades get
I will say,
over.
There is no generic Keyblade in this. This is all...
Okay.
Typically pretty good ones.
I'm
going to
put this one at 4.
All right,
The Divine Rose, but I don't think I used it too often because by the time I got it, I had already gotten a better Keyblade.
Fair. Next, we'll do Fenrir from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, I thought you said Kingdom Hearts 1 was all the ones.
They're all from Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, and 3.
I see.
Yeah.
Was Fenrir the giant slab?
I believe so, yes.
So that's the one that gives you -1.
It's the highest strength, but
it gives
lower
gives
mana
one.
or something like that.
I want to say it gives you -1 on hit combos. I used it to choose
maybe that's what it is.
A boss at one point that was giving me a lot of trouble. Now it is a cool looking Keyblade. It's not the prettiest though. If we're judging it by pretty color, like it's very rugged.
However you want to judge these, whether it's strength or prettiness.
It looks more like a greatsword, too. It looks two-handed. Why don't we throw that in at 3?
Okay.
I believe
okay.
I have the Divine Rose at 4 and this at 3, correct?
Yes, you do. Okay. All right, next up, we got the Lionheart, and this was from Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yes, Lionheart, which I believe is the Hercules. No, that's the Olympia Blade. Which one is this? This is damn it, why can't I think of it? Where does it come from? Do you remember? Did you write that down?
Let's see. Blah 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 blah. Raises max MP.
So you do get it after beating
strength
Leon
10 plus MP 1.
Hades in the Leon Cloud and Hades in the Hades Cup.
Yes.
So that you do get it on the Hercules area. So I was kind of right there.
Yes.
I mean, this Keyblade looks fucking sick. So I'm going to put it at 2.
All right. Next up, we got the Decisive Pumpkin from Kingdom Hearts 2.
You know what? I am going to put that at 5.
5. Okay.
I know exactly which one that is. It's got a little pumpkin handle. You get it from the Halloween Town area.
Yeah.
It's a cool Keyblade, don't get me wrong. It's just not the coolest Keyblade.
Fair. And last, the Ultima.
Of course you had to throw the Ultima in there. Of course it's going at 1.
Yeah, it was too good. I left it at last, maybe thinking you'd throw it in a lower slot. You had your own slot left.
Yeah, so the Ultima Blade's like one of my favorite blades, only because of the amount of time it takes to craft it, because you can't actually earn it. You have to craft it.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So it adds an extra layer of, I really fucking want this.
Okay. All right. Next up, we'll do blind ranks for... Let's do Nintendo games.
Okay,
we can skip Nintendo games if you'd rather.
Let's do Nintendo games.
All right. Just picked random ones across time. Majora's Mask.
So that was actually my favorite Legend of Zelda game.
Fair.
I'm going to throw that at 1.
All right.
That is literally one of my favorite games of all time. I like that so much better than Ocarina of Time.
Fair. Okay.
I used to call it Majora's Mask, though.
I do remember that a lot.
And then, I remember because two of our friends would tell me, you can't say that because it had the word horror in it. I'm like, okay. I think you're reading too much into it.
Right. I'm not actually calling anyone a whore. Just
no,
mispronouncing
I'm saying,
this.
Mahora. That's very different.
All right. Next, Super Mario 64.
I don't actually like Super Mario 64.
I know.
Like, that game, it's... To me, it was never that fun. I get it. People really enjoy it, but I just thought it was... The controls are kind of sluggish. It's not the best kind of game of its time coming out. There were certainly better games. Jet Force Gemini, I think, came out around the same year. Maybe a year later. And then it's fucking way better than that. So I think I would put that at 5.
Okay. 1 and 5 right off the bat. All right. Next up, and I don't know if you've ever played any of these. I haven't, but Fire Emblem.
Oh, I actually have. I love the Fire Emblem games.
Okay.
The first one is just so much fun. It's just a strategy, move them to an area game, and it's like an RTS of sorts, but with limited movement.
Yeah.
I'll put that one at 3, I think.
Okay. All right. We got Super Smash Bros. Melee.
This is one of my favorite all-time games as well. I've put a lot of hours into this game. It's going to have to go at 2, I think. I think there's no choice.
Fair. And then we will go with Wii Sports.
Oh, shit. I should have saved my 5. I've never played the Wii Sports game. It's fine at 4.
Okay.
I think that and Super Mario 64 are the same for me. It's just
trash
games.
Are we keeping your rankings then?
Yes,
we're not switching?
All right. No, it's not switching any. It's 2 in a row. We haven't switched any. I think I'm pretty confident in that. I've never played the Wii Sports. I've watched them be played and it looked boring as shit. So
honestly, I do enjoy the Wii Sports quite a bit, especially around the time.
What a fucking nerd.
Especially at the time. VR is way better though.
The Oculus is so much better now. Yeah. Beat Saber is like a million times more fun than fucking Wii Sports will ever be.
Beat Saber, Elfish Assassin, any of the VR games, it doesn't matter.
Even the VR bowling game I play is pretty fun. Anything is more fun than fucking Wii Sports. Cutting off my pinky is more fun than Wii Sports, I think.
Well, and Wii Sports Resorts was an okay addition too, but the original Wii Sports I played way more.
Yeah.
But,
all right.
Yeah. All right. Next, we will go with the blind ranking of RPG games.
Okay.
All right. We are going to start with Fallout 4.
Ooh. You know I love me some Fallout 4.
I do.
You know I put a shit ton of hours into Fallout 4. Now, I am going to put it at 3, and I'm going to give you a very specific reason why. I tried to go back into it. I think Fallout 4 was a game at a time.
Oh, interesting.
When I tried to jump back in and play it again, I actually did not have as much fun. So my second playthrough of it, like, just
I might have missed my window.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I think it's fun still. I think if I really jumped in and relearned the system, I would have a good time doing it. You know, it's just like with Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. Remember I told you about that, how the first time just sucked for me, but the second time was so much better.
True.
Maybe I just need to give myself more time to acclimate to the game, but after the first couple hours of playing, I got real bored real fast.
Fair. Always, the beginning is a game's on a replay through is always the hardest to get through again, though, too, because it's always the slowest. You're so used to being overpowered, going back down to base.
Especially
it just
in
sucks.
RPGs. RPGs are the worst.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, especially if you put, like, over 100 hours into a game or something, you're like, you're nowhere anywhere near the level you were or the capabilities
Fallout
you had.
Honestly, Fallout is just a game where you have to walk a lot.
Yeah.
There is a lot of walking, and it gets really boring. So that's what really drove me back on it again. At first, I liked it because it was cool exploring areas, but now that I know all the areas, it's not as fun.
Fair. Next, I'm going to bring up Skyrim.
I really did like Skyrim.
Skyrim's awesome.
Now, this is another game where the first time I played it, I didn't have any fun with it. And I think specifically it was because it's large.
Yeah.
And the enemies have such a level fucking gap. Like, you can go into an area which you're just not ready for at all. Like, and it's so quick. You could be in the first area, and within 5 minutes, you can be in an area that's 20 levels up ahead of you.
Now, I had played this all the way through my first time, but it was just the perfect time for me. I needed a big game at that time.
And it still was fun. So I'll throw it at number two. I think number two is a good place. So right now, I have my number two and my number three, right?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
All right. Next, we are going to throw up Mass Effect Andromeda.
I mean, this doesn't even... This game, to me, was a lot of fun still.
Yes.
It's hard, though, because it was not the best of the Mass Effect games.
Yes.
I think number four is deserving of this.
Okay.
I like it at number four.
All right. We will do Skies of Arcadia next.
Number one. 100% I still want to go back and replay this game and stream it because it's just so much fucking fun anyway.
Fair. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, out of all of the three of those games, or four of those games, that one by far will be the most entertaining and the one people like the best.
All right, and for your number five slot, unless you switch it, we have Outer Worlds.
I am going to trade.
Okay.
Because I liked Outer Worlds a lot. What did I put at number two?
Two, you had Skyrim. Three, you had Fallout 4.
I have to
switch it to Skyrim.
It's got number two has to be the Outer Worlds.
So Skyrim's going to five?
Skyrim's going to five. Sorry, Skyrim. But the Outer Worlds, I love Obsidian is literally my favorite. I've said this how many times on the podcast?
Yeah.
They are my favorite game company of all time.
Willing to put Skyrim at five for them.
honestly, dude, they do such a better job at making games than anyone else. They put their fucking heart, like, I'm playing Grounded. I've talked about this previously. It's so clear that they put their heart into that fucking game.
Grounded's amazing. I'm so glad you're getting into it.
They're still doing updates.
Yeah.
They're still adding new shit. Like, this is, it's just amazing how much support they give their games and how much care they give them.
Hey, weren't you talking to me about sucking dick earlier? Sounds like you're doing a lot of dick
sucking.
Yeah,
well, if the entire Obsidian crew put their dicks in front of me, I would suck every single one. So, next. I don't think they want that from me, but they're all amazing. If I had to pick a dream job, it would be doing literally anything for Obsidian.
Fair.
Being their local prostitute. I would do it for Obsidian, okay?
Fair. Do you want to do one more or do you want to call it there?
Let's do one more and then call it.
All right. We will do video game controllers.
Oh, this is something I don't actually have a lot of experience with.
Yes, I kind of kept it pretty basic. I tried doing ones that I think you would know at the very least, or at least used. So we will start with PlayStation 4.
I mean, honestly, PlayStation controllers just aren't my thing.
Yeah.
I don't really like the feel of them. The DualShock is pretty stupid, but I don't know. Let's put it at 4. I like PlayStation controllers being lesser for me.
Okay. We will talk about the Super Nintendo next.
Super Nintendo, that little fucking rectangular controller.
No, the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo was the square one. The Super Nintendo was the more rounded one with the circle buttons.
Oh yeah, either way.
It was like the gray, grays, purples, and blues, or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let's put that at 5.
Okay,
it's an ugly controller and it's hard to fucking use.
Let's go with the Xbox One X and S controller.
Number one.
Kind of figured that's where that would go.
No beating those. They're so perfect the way they are.
They are perfect. This is the best controller, hands down. What about the Sega CD controller?
So it's actually a pretty shitty controller. Yes. Sega was not good at making controllers. Their button layouts were all shit. The form of the controller itself, it's like a Nintendo controller, you know? They do too much to make it too unique. And then it doesn't feel right.
Fair.
So I'm going to go 3 on that one.
Okay. And then last, we have arguably one of the worst controllers ever, the Nintendo 64 controller.
So actually, I didn't mind the N64 controller.
I don't mind it as much as everyone else does. But
yeah,
I do get some of the gripes.
The way you grip it is interesting.
Yes.
Like, to me, because you never really use the D-pad
it's
on
more
the
like
left
a
side.
Gun. Yeah, but it's like not. It was weird that I was like on one side of the controller mainly. Like you were on the bottom and on the side. Like you didn't have a hand over here a lot. It was very weird.
Yeah, but like the holding the trigger button underneath, I think it was the Z button,
felt
really natural back in the day. So I'll give them that. I'll keep that at 2. I like that list where it's at.
Okay, cool. Kept 3 the same and 3 switched, I believe.
Sweet.
Pretty good.
All right, everyone. All right. That's it. That's the episode.
Yes. Let us know where you'd rank those lists or add any additions to yourself. And then one of the next times we do this, we'll have Scott Blaine rank me. All right. Well, join us on TikTok and everywhere else. And we will see you next time.
All right, guys.
Disco Elysium.
Yep, we're doing Disco Elysium. Yeah. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Love you.
No.